The following message was given by Tim Abbott on Sunday, January 25th at Redemption Hill Church. For more information about the church, visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.
Good morning, my name is Tim. I am one of the pastors at Redemption Hill. I hope and pray that you are staying safe and warm this morning. Today we are starting a new sermon series. It's going to go on for the next 4 weeks. And the title of the series is All for His Glory. And our hope with this series is really to help us see that everything that we do as a church is meant to be for the glory of God. We want you to have a clear picture of who Redemption Hill is and why we do the things that we do. As pastors, we have taken time over the past year to prayerfully consider and clarify what is the mission of Redemption Hill and what are the distinctives of Redemption Hill. Essentially, we want to answer who has Jesus called us to be and what has he called us to do. So for the next 4 weeks, we will work through that together. And today, we want to start with a big picture. What is the mission of the church? Now, this is the mission statement that we as pastors have put together, have sought God about, and we believe this is the mission statement of the church. Redemption Hill Church exists to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ in Richmond and around the world. We believe that is the mission that God has for the church. There are a lot of good things that Christians are called to do. There are many things that Christians can and should care about, and we will talk about a number of those things over the next few weeks as we talk about those distinctives of Redemption Hill. But we want to start and be clear that the main mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. The main mission of the church is to proclaim the good news of Jesus and help people follow him in every aspect of their life. I heard a pastor recently talk about the ship, the SS United States. The SS United States was a ship initially intended to transport troops after World War II. It was intended to be the largest, fastest ship, and that it would last for decades, maybe more. And its mission was to be able to take over 10,000 soldiers at a time to their missions around the world. The U.S. government invested what would equal over $1 billion in today's economy into this ship. It was the largest American-built ship and the fastest ocean liner in the world. And yet, it never transported a single soldier. Instead, it became a luxury cruise ship. It was on the cover of magazines and newspapers. Movie stars and other celebrities loved the ship and were often photographed on the ship. The SS United States did not last for decades, but stayed a cruise ship for about 10 years, and then it went and sat in a dock and was used as a tourist attraction for decades until this past year. And now it is this very year being prepared to be intentionally sunk in Florida as this once beautiful billion-dollar ship has become so ruined and run down that there is no longer any use for it. The SS United States initially had a mission. It was intended to take people on mission, and yet it never even took one soldier. Instead, it became a ship for people to relax, to be comfortable, and to take photo ops with. The mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And that means that the church and the people in the church are a group of people on mission together to proclaim Jesus to a dark and dying world. The church is not a group of people simply entertaining one another on a cruise ship until we get to heaven. But the church is God's people that have been given a mission of proclaiming Jesus as our only hope, and teaching those who trust in Jesus to learn to become more and more like Jesus. So today we will see clearly what the mission of the church is, who God uses for his mission, who has the power to accomplish this mission, and then finally we will see what is the promise given to those carrying out this mission. And as much as our pastors are clever and intelligent, we didn't come up with this mission, Jesus did. And so we're going to look at his words today in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 16 through 20. This is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It says this, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we hear your word, as we hear your message, as we think about your words, that you would move us, that you would help us see clearly what you have intended for your church, that you would move us to care about the things that you care about, that you would help us see that you have this mission and that we are a part of it. As Christians, as believers, as your church, we are a part of it. And we get to partake. It is a beautiful gift that we get to partake in this mission that you have given us, to proclaim your good news and to see more and more people come to trust in you and learn to live the way that you have called them to live. So, Father, put that on our hearts today. Give us insight into that. Let it transform the way that we live and we speak. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So often when this passage is read, the focus is primarily on verses 18 through 20. But the setting of this passage is important and helpful. It helps us see who are the people that Jesus gave this great commission to. Verses 16 and 17 tell us, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Mark chapter 16 records this same interaction. And in verses 14 and 15, Mark uses even stronger language in relation to the disciples. It says this, Mark 16, verses 14 and 15. "He," Jesus, "appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And then Jesus said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.'" Now this is right after Jesus has risen from the grave. He is alive and has started appearing to some of his followers. And here are his closest disciples who have heard that he is risen. Men that had been with him through his earthly ministry and seen Jesus do amazing miracles. But when they see him, many of them doubt. Some of them worship, but many of them doubt. They doubt that when they go to Galilee, that Jesus will really be there. Even when they see him, they still doubt that it is really him, that he is really risen. They doubt so much that Jesus rebukes them for their stubborn hearts. But then almost immediately, he gives them this mission. This mission that has shaped the church for 2,000 years. Immediately, he gives them this mission to go and make disciples. Church, Jesus takes the weak and foolish things of this world and he uses them in great and mighty ways. Some of us think that we are just not strong enough to make disciples. We're not mature enough. We're not confident enough. We don't know enough of the Bible. We're not gifted enough. Many of us have just given up and said, that part of it is not going to be what I do. I'm not going to be a part of making disciples. I'll find some other way to contribute. I'll serve, I'll encourage, I'll give. but I'm never going to make disciples. I'll support those who make disciples, but I'm just too sinful. I'm just too weak. Here in Matthew 28, Jesus, as he always does, takes sinful people, people who sometimes struggle to believe, and he uses them to accomplish his great and mighty mission. God is using people who still need to grow. He is using people who still need to be discipled themselves. These men still needed to grow in certain areas. God uses people like you and me to accomplish this mission. Church, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have a mission. You are a part of this mission to make more and more disciples of Jesus. You are not a finished work. You and I are still being made more like Jesus. We are still learning what it is to trust Jesus in everything, learning to do all that Jesus commanded. It doesn't sound like a great plan. It doesn't sound like a good plan. Taking 11 guys, some of them who are doubting, to go and spread the gospel to all the nations. But Jesus uses people like you and me to help everyone see that the power and the authority isn't in any of us, but the power and authority is found in Christ alone. He tells them in verse 18, it says, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." The Greek word here for authority is exousia, and it means both power and authority. It means he has the authority to command his mission, and he has the power to accomplish his mission. My family are all Kansas City Chiefs fans. It's not been a great year for the Chiefs, but it has been an incredible decade for the Chiefs. And they, like many other teams, have some of the most powerful and talented people in the world on their team. Patrick Mahomes, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all times, has the speed to make other professional athletes who make millions of dollars look foolish. He has strength in his arm that allows him to throw a ball farther and faster than about 100% of the rest of the world. The Chiefs have defensive and offensive linemen who could knock you or me over just by looking in our direction. We would just sense the strength of them and immediately just fall over. These players have the power, the strength to accomplish the game plan on the football field. And yet, as talented and as powerful as they might be, none of them have the ultimate authority on that team. The ultimate authority on that team is the least athletic-looking man on that football field, 67-year-old Andy Reid. Man has one outfit, a Chiefs polo shirt that he never tucks in. I dare you to find him in something else. And yet Andy Reid, as the head coach of that team, has the ultimate authority. If those 300-pound offensive linemen decide to show up to practice 5 minutes late, it is Andy Reid who says, "You won't play this week." Their power, their strength won't mean anything unless Andy Reid says, "Go. Get into the game. You are a part of my plan. And if he tells you to go, then you better go." The Chiefs players have great power, and their coach has great authority on the football field. And yet Jesus has all power and all authority over heaven and earth. He is not a coach dependent on his players. He is all powerful and has all authority, which means he is going to accomplish his mission. We are on the winning side. He is going to accomplish the things that he calls his people to do. That means two things for us. First, we need to do what he has commanded. If Jesus has all authority, if the one who conquered the power of sin and death tells you to go and make disciples, you don't have the authority to say, "That's not for me." We often treat God's words, we treat God's commands like we're at Chipotle. We think we can pick and choose what commands we want to follow. I'll take singing and encouragement and fellowship, but no making disciples for me. I'll pass on that. Someone else will have to do that. No, if Jesus has all authority, then it means you and I simply cannot disregard this command. The great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor, famously said, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." If Jesus tells you to go, you go. If he tells you to make disciples, then we need to be serious about making disciples. So we need to do what he commands. But if he has all authority and power, it also means that we should have complete confidence that Jesus will accomplish his work. Jesus will be victorious. These disciples have just been rebuked for their lack of faith yet again. And so Jesus looks at them and says, the power to change the world clearly is not going to come from you guys. The truth is, none of us have the ability or authority to change a person's heart. None of us have the authority or ability to take someone from being dead in their sins to being alive to Christ. But Jesus does. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. Jesus has shown us his authority again and again as we've been studying the Gospel of Luke. He's shown us his authority over diseases, demons, and even death. In John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." If Jesus has total authority over life and death, then he alone can claim authority over all things. He says, "I have all authority in heaven and on earth." The authority of Jesus is superior to all other authorities in this world. He has authority all over every other ruler, leader, power, every other authority, no matter what their title is. He has greater authority. And he has that authority yesterday, today, tomorrow, and every day to come. That is the authority of Jesus. So when he says, "Go and make disciples," we can have confidence that Jesus is going to do this. There is nowhere, no thing, no person that he does not have authority over. He has authority over Central Asia. He has authority over every person and nation in Africa. He has authority over every person in Richmond, Virginia. He has authority over your neighborhood and your home. He has authority over that wonderful and giant kindergarten through fourth grade class that happens every week here at Redemption Hill. He has authority over your community group and over this church. No one can stop Jesus from accomplishing his mission. No power can slow him down. So we can go and do the work that he's commanded with confidence, because Jesus is the one who has called us to the mission. And he is going to use people like you and me to accomplish that work. And then in verses 19 and 20, he tells them exactly what it means to make disciples. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." The primary command here is make disciples. But there are several other commands that are centered around it. Go, baptize, teach. Jesus came into this world to save sinners from their sins, and here he is telling his disciples to go and spread that message. We are called to proclaim the gospel. We are called to call the lost to repent of their sins, to trust in Christ for salvation, and then to be baptized. To be baptized as a symbol of turning and trusting in Christ alone. To be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Making disciples involves baptizing those who put their trust in Jesus. When you go, you are to be baptizing. Baptism is the outward sign of an inward act of faith in Christ. It is proclaiming to the world that that I am dead to sin and alive to Christ. It is the outward visible symbol of what has been done in the heart of a Christian, and it is an act of obedience that proclaims that I have put all of my hope and trust in Jesus. So as we proclaim the gospel, we are baptizing those who trust in him. Making disciples involves baptizing. Making disciples doesn't end there. It doesn't end at evangelism. It doesn't end at baptism. We are told to then teach them to observe all that I have commanded them. An important distinction here. Jesus doesn't just tell them, teach them all that I have commanded you. He says, teach them to observe, or teach them to do all that I have commanded you. A few years ago, I bought a tent for the first time. Not a big fan of camping, but I bought a tent and found one that said, easy setup in 5 minutes. I read all the reviews for that tent, looked at the instructions for a minute or so, and then proceeded to try and set this tent up. And after about 2 hours, I was fully convinced that this tent was actually impossible and that a prank was being pulled on me. Not even a space engineer could actually figure this thing out. I had read about the tent. I knew what was involved in the tent. I knew the parts of the tent. I read the instructions. But I just couldn't put it together, and ultimately decided I didn't want to work that hard to put together a tent. And then a friend showed me and walked me through how to put it up. And he did it in about 5 minutes. And then I realized it was actually pretty simple. I knew how to do it. I still didn't do it perfectly, but I got much closer. A lot of us know about the Bible. We've heard the commands of the Bible. When it comes to actually doing it, we give very little effort and then kind of give up. Church, we need good teaching, and we will continue to teach God's word every Sunday, in classes, in communities, as we gather together. But we also need people who come beside us and show us how to do the things that we're learning about in the Bible. We need people who model these things for us and encourage us to keep trying even when we fail. That's what it means when Jesus says, teaching them to obey or to do everything that I have commanded you. And so discipleship is not just bringing people to Christ, but it is bringing people to maturity in Christ. We preach and teach through the whole Bible. Our kids are taught all of the Bible, not just so that we will know more about the Bible, but so that we would become obedient disciples in every area of our lives. This is part of the reason why we need the whole church involved in this mission. This is a big job, and none of us are able to do it on our own. This is not just the job of pastors, teachers, evangelists, missionaries. It is the duty of every Christian to make disciples. It is the mission of the whole church. We have pastors and teachers who can teach God's word, but they can't walk alongside every single person. And so many of you do this so well. You model for us what it means to follow Jesus. You show us what it means to encourage and strengthen others. You show us what it means to share the gospel regularly. You show us what it means to care well for those who are hurting and in need. You take time each week to teach and lead our kids and our youth. You model for us what it means to sacrifice time and money to build up and encourage those who are discouraged. And in so many other ways, you model for us what it is to follow Jesus. I'm so thankful for the many ways that this church is doing that. Making disciples is a command that is meant to be obeyed, but it is also an amazing and gracious gift. We get to proclaim the good news of Jesus. We get to baptize those who turn away from their sins. We get to help those people become more like Jesus in every area of their life. That is an amazing gift. What a gift it is to go into all the world and proclaim hope to people lost in darkness. What a gift it is to see people trust Jesus more and more. This is the mission of the church. And then finally, we see the promise that Jesus gives his people to again build their confidence that they can accomplish this mission that he has given them. Jesus tells them, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Literally, he says, "I am with you all the days," or every single day. He is ever present. He is constantly with his people. He is with us every day, the good days, the difficult days. This isn't just a hopeful, encouraging statement, but it is a guarantee. He doesn't say, I hope to be with you. He says, I am with you always. This is a present reality for God's people. Now, if I told you I'm going to be with you always, you'd probably say, that's okay, Tim. I'm good. And the truth is, I might not be that much of a help. But when Jesus says, I'm with you always, he says it as the one who has just reminded you that he has all power and all authority over all things. The one who is with you has all power and all authority over everything in heaven and earth. That is the promise that we are given. No matter where you go, no matter what you encounter, Jesus is with you and he is all powerful. Wherever you go to proclaim his good news, wherever you go to make disciples, Jesus reminds you, I have all authority and I am with you. I will never leave you. I am with you. I am on your side. And this should give us confidence. Confidence to do what Jesus has told us to do. This should give us confidence to go to the nations, to those who have never heard the gospel. But it should also give us confidence to do this in our homes and in our city and in our church. If you go across the street to an unbelieving neighbor's home, Jesus is with you. If you go onto a college campus where there are very few Christians, Jesus is with you. If you go to teach youth and kids on a Sunday, Jesus is with you. If you go into a country that hates Christians, you are not alone. Jesus, the greatest authority, the one who has authority over all things, is with you. That is such a great and confidence-building promise. That is the promise that God gives us. Redemption Hill, as we close, I just want to say, I've asked myself, how did we get here today? How did any of us get here? How did any of us in 2026 in Virginia become disciples of Jesus Christ? We are 6,000 miles away and 2,000 years away from what happened here in Matthew chapter 28. How is there a church in Richmond, Virginia in the year 2026 of hundreds of people who have trusted in Jesus and are learning to follow him in all of life? How are there churches all over this world who do the same thing? We are here because Jesus accomplishes his mission, and he has kept his promise. We are here because God's people have continued to be faithful to go and make disciples. We are here because Jesus, for the past 2,000 years, has been using people like you and me to make more and more disciples. He has not stopped, and he has not failed. We are here because Jesus has been faithful. He has kept his promise. He has been with each and every one of his disciples every single day and in every place that they have gone to make disciples. That's why any of us today can say that we are disciples of Jesus. And so, church, Redemption Hill, we can trust that today, tomorrow, and 50 years from now, Jesus is still going to be accomplishing his mission and keeping his promise. We can confidently continue to proclaim his good news, continue to baptize, and continue to teach people what it means to follow Jesus in every area of life. That is the mission of the church. That is the mission of Redemption Hill, and it is a gracious and beautiful gift that we get to be a part of that mission. Let's pray. Father, we need you for everything. We can always find reasons not to do what you have called us to do. We can always feel like we are inadequate. We can find other things to focus on. But Father, I pray that you would put this on our hearts. That you came into this world, that you sent Jesus into this world to save sinners from their sins, to teach people what it is to live the way that you have called them to. And so you have given us such a wonderful and gracious gift in giving us that same mission. And so I pray that you would build our confidence, build our trust in you, that you are accomplishing these things, and that we simply need to be faithful to what you have called us to do. Teach us and show us what it means to be faithful. Thank you for so many in this church who have done this so well for so long. Thank you for how you've used them in the lives of others to proclaim your good news. Continue to use this church. Continue to grow and transform your church to be more of what you need it to be. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, stay safe and warm. We miss you. We look forward to being back together. We love you. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to a message by Tim Abbott, given at Redemption Hill Church in Richmond, Virginia. For more information on the church and to hear other messages, please visit us online at www.redemptionhill.org.